This program is intended for an audience that is blind and print impaired, and it will be available in podcast after the initial broadcast. This is Kurt Benrood with the North Carolina Reading Service, and I want to welcome you to Movie and Theater Previews, your source of information about upcoming productions on the stage and on the screen that are available with audio description. And let's start with what's on stage. The Tangier Center in Greensboro at 300 North Elm Street is offering And Juliet on Saturday, October 12th at 2 p.m., and also on Sunday, October 13th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets run anywhere from $22 to $157. You can call them at 336-333-6500. And I'll repeat that number later on. So, created by the Emmy Award-winning writer from Schitt's Creek, this hilarious new musical flips the script on the greatest love story ever told. And Juliet asks, what would happen if Juliet didn't end it all after Romeo? Get whisked away on a fabulous journey as she ditches her famous ending for a fresh beginning and a second chance at life and love her way. Juliet's new story bursts to life through a playlist of pop anthems as iconic as her name, including Since You've Been Gone, Roar, Baby One More Time, Larger Than Life, That's the Way It Is, and Can't Stop the Feeling. All from the genius songwriter-producer behind more number one hits than any other artist this century. Break free from the balcony scene and get into this romantic comedy that proves there's life after Romeo. The only thing tragic would be missing it. Now, this play has book by David West Reed, music by Max Martin and Friends, choreography by Jennifer Weber, and it's directed by Luke Shepherd. Variety refers to And Juliet as a Shakespearean jukebox musical that is like a shot of pure gold. Shakespeare's Juliet singing Britney Spears' Oops, I Did It Again is certainly a surprising and unexpected juxtaposition. While there is every reason to be skeptical of a Shakespearean jukebox musical, And Juliet makes it work remarkably well. It's the most fun you'll have in a Broadway theater right now. And Juliet features 32 songs by Max Martin and a rotating group of collaborators officially credited as Max Martin and Friends, ranging from the 90s to today, and including songs made popular by Robin, the Backstreet Boys, Katy Perry, Demi Lovato, Pink, and more. The playbill includes a note that Martin has had more number one hits than any other artist this century, and boldly claims he's basically the Shakespeare of pop music. At the very least, his catalog is unquestionably impressive, and his songs make for a surprising, fantastic jukebox musical. The book of And Juliet by David West Reed takes us on a meta-theatrical journey as Anne fights with her husband, William Shakespeare, to rewrite Romeo and Juliet with a happier ending for Juliet. Instead of dying, Juliet here learns that her beloved is a melodramatic jerk with many other lovers, and so she runs away to Paris and quickly gets embroiled in another romance. All this could have come across as a high school English class assignment, but Reed manages to make it work. He clearly has respect for and knowledge of the source material, but also isn't afraid to highlight just how ridiculous the play really is. As we are reminded here, Romeo and Juliet only knew each other for 4 days. Though he keeps the characters true to the original, there are slight tweaks for modern sensibility, as when Anne brings Juliet's age up from 13, yikes, to her mid-20s. And Juliet brings on a rich but also very specific theatrical heritage. It's as if Six, Something Rotten, Head Over Heels, and Moulin Rouge all had a baby, and Juliet is an Elizabethan jukebox that draws on Tudor chic, contains a bevy of well-researched Shakespeare jokes, and historical references, including the factoid that Shakespeare left Anne nothing but his second-best bed in his will, and uses beloved pop songs to spread a palatable feminist message. The musical structure feels fittingly Shakespearean, though more in line with the Bard's comedies. From the moment we meet the characters, it's abundantly obvious who will end up with whom, and that everything will end happily. In fact, the musical could use more conflict, and although this is acknowledged by Shakespeare at the top of the second act, Reed doesn't manage to do anything substantial about it, having some of the action to feel belabored. What the show lacks in plotting, it more than makes up for musically. It is a jukebox, but it's a smart one, using the songs in deft, humorous, and unexpected ways, including some great puns on character names. The songs are frequently chosen for the lyrics to the verses instead of choruses, an approach that makes the songs feel fully integrated into the scenes and true to the characters. The show also never takes itself too seriously. It even mocks the simplicity of some of Martin's lyrics, especially his hollow and generic love songs. Visually, the show is a bit of a mixed bag. The choreography combines classic moves from drag and trendy TikTok dances, often translating to little more than simple, jerky arm movements. The set and video and projections feel generic. Gilmore does almost nothing with the Parisian setting other than including a miniature, anachronistic Eiffel Tower, Moulin Rouge windmill, and metro sign. The gorgeous costumes, however, flawlessly meld corsets and doublets with Doc Martens and joggers. The costume design is one of the strongest elements of the show and will undoubtedly inspire many a fan recreation. The performances are consistently high caliber. Courtney makes for a first-rate Juliet and has a powerful belt. If Bonnie Milligan, Head Over Heels, and Kimberly Akimbo is the belting queen of Broadway, Courtney is the princess. Daniel Maldonado, the understudy who stepped into the role of Romeo at press performances, performed admirably and got a substantial number of laughs. The cast standout, especially in terms of acting, is Wolfe as Anne. She fully embodies her character's transformation from shy, wine-drinking mom on a night out to a quill-wielding, playwriting, suffer-no-fools wife, and gives a performance that is funny, touching, and vocally fierce. Melanie LaBerry as the nurse and Philippe Arroyo as the new love interest round out the principal cast and lend laugh-out-loud comedy. For a show ostensibly about heterosexual coupling, the musical is undeniably queer, frequently celebrating gender nonconformity as well as racial and body diversity in its casting. The whole ensemble, which features several non-binary performers, feels like a very hip, very queer BFA cohort. This delightful queerness is best exemplified by May, Juliet's non-binary BFF, played by the effervescent Justin David Sullivan. It's a landmark moment for a Broadway musical to feature a non-binary major character who gets a romantic plotline and a happy ending, is given a ample space to talk about being misgendered, the difficulties of dating while trans, as well as experiencing gender dysphoria and gender euphoria, and is very importantly played by a genderqueer actor who looks stunning and gives a standout performance. As a non-binary critic who has written many pieces about transphobia and non-binary erasure on stage, I think I'd never get to see something like this on Broadway. After watching Sullivan's authentic and beautiful portrayal of May, my heart was full. In contrast to the musical's skillful inclusion of May, the feminism of the show, especially as expressed in Juliet and Anne's plots, leans a bit too heavily on the girl boss vibe. After all, Juliet's big final song is Roar, not exactly known as an intersectional anthem. Likewise, the show doesn't entirely stick its ending, or rather, endings. It has about four of them, each tweaking the messaging a bit, which muddles things by the final curtain. And Juliet has big yass energy, which the script admits, references, and pokes fun at. Perhaps it's fine that the musical doesn't offer a new, complex, or fully coherent take on gender, authorship, or agency. It doesn't have to be that deep. And Juliet is exactly the show Broadway needs right now. Fun, exuberant, supremely joyful, hilarious, and excellently performed by a talented and diverse cast. The amount of confetti may be gratuitous. They seem to be trying to outdo Moulin Rouge. But honestly, why not? The world is crumbling around us. We might as well dance to pop songs and throw some glitter in the air. And once again, that's And Juliet, playing at the Tangier Center at 300 North Elm Street in Greensboro, Saturday, October 12th at 2 p.m., and Sunday, October 13th at 7:30. Tickets start at $22 and can go up as high as $157, depending on where you want to sit. The number to call is 336-333-6500. That's 336-333-6500. Next up, we'll take a look at movies. We're going to start with the ones that are brand new. Joker, Folie à Deux, runs 2 hours and 18 minutes. It's rated R for some strong language, violence and language throughout, some sexuality, and brief full nudity. This is a crime, drama, musical thriller. Arthur Fleck, played by Joaquin Phoenix, is institutionalized at Arkham, awaiting trial for his crimes as Joker. While struggling with his dual identity, Arthur not only stumbles upon true love, but also finds the music that's always been inside him. Also starring Lady Gaga. Trivia. The film's working title is Folie à Deux, which means Madness of Two in French. This initially led to speculation about Harley Quinn's appearance in the film, which was shortly thereafter confirmed. The name Folie à Deux comes from the 19th century French psychiatrist Charles La Segue and Jules Falre, also known as La Segue Falre syndrome, and it depicts two or more people that share the same madness or delirium. Monster Summer runs 1 hour and 37 minutes. It's rated PG-13 for some violence and terror. It's an adventure, horror, mystery. When a mysterious force begins to disrupt their summer fun, Noah and his friends team up with a retired police detective to embark on a monstrous adventure to save their island. The Outrun runs 1 hour and 58 minutes. It's rated R for language and brief sexuality. This is a drama. After living life on the edge in London, Rona attempts to come to terms with her troubled past. She returns to the wild beauty of Scotland's Orkney Islands, where she grew up, hoping to heal. This is adapted from the 2016 best-selling memoir by Amy Liptrot. And once again, that's titled The Outrun. Whitebird runs 1 hour and 37 minutes. It's rated PG for some strong violence, thematic material, and language. It's an adventure, biography, drama, family, war movie. In R.J. Palacio's best-selling collection of stories, Augie and Me, which expands on characters in wonder, readers were introduced to Julian's grandmother, Grandmère. Here, Palacio makes her graphic novel debut with Grandmère's heartrending story, how she, a young Jewish girl, was hidden by a family in a Nazi-occupied village during World War II. How the boy and her classmates, once shunned, became her savior and best friend. Am I Racist? Runs 1 hour and 41 minutes. It's rated PG for strong language, thematic material, some sexual references, and smoking. It's a documentary and a satire comedy. From the white guys who brought you What is a Woman? Comes their next great question and America's next great movie, Am I Racist? Matt Welsh goes undercover in the world of DEI, hilariously skewering the absurdity of race hustlers, preparing to be shocked by how far the grifters will go and how much further Matt Walsh will go to expose them. Beetlejuice runs 1 hour and 44 minutes, rated PG for violent content, macabre and bloody images, strong language, some suggestive material, and brief drug use. It's a comedy, horror, fantasy. After an unexpected family tragedy, three generations of the Dietz family return to the Winter River. Still haunted by Beetlejuice, Lydia's life is turned upside down when her rebellious teenage daughter, Astrid, discovers the mysterious model of the town in the attic, and the portal to the afterlife is accidentally opened. With trouble brewing in both realms, it's only a matter of time until someone says Beetlejuice's name three times, and the mischievous demon returns to unleash his very own brand of mayhem. Deadpool and Wolverine runs 2 hours and 7 minutes. It's rated R for strong, bloody violence and language throughout, gore and sexual references. It's an action, comedy, sci-fi. The listless Wade Wilson toils away in civilian life with his days as the morally flexible mercenary Deadpool behind him. But when his home world faces an existential threat, Wade must reluctantly suit up again with an even more reluctant Wolverine. Despicable Me 4 runs 1 hour and 34 minutes. It's rated PG. It's an animation, adventure comedy, family sci-fi. Gru, Lucy, Margot, Edith, and Agnes welcome a new member to the family, Gru Jr., who is intent on tormenting his dad. Gru faces a new nemesis in Maxime Lamal and his girlfriend Valentina, and the family is forced to go on the run. It Ends With Us runs 2 hours and 10 minutes. It's rated PG for domestic violence, sexual content, and some strong language. It's a drama thriller. It Ends With Us, the first Colleen Hoover novel adapted for the big screen, tells the compelling story of Lily Bloom, a woman who overcomes a traumatic childhood to embark on a new life in Boston and chase a lifelong dream of opening her own business. A chance meeting with charming neurosurgeon Kyle Kincaid sparks an intense connection, but as the two fall deeply in love, Lily begins to see signs of Ryle that remind her of her parents' relationship. When Lily's first love, Atlas Corrigan, suddenly re-enters her life, her relationship with Ryle is upended, and Lily realizes she must learn to rely on her own strength to make an impossible choice for her future. Megalopolis runs 2 hours and 18 minutes. It's rated R for sexual content, nudity, drug use, language, and some violence. It's a drama sci-fi. The city of New Rome is the main conflict between Cesar Catalina, a brilliant artist in favor of a utopian future, and the greedy mayor Franklin Cicero. Between them is Julia Cicero, her loyalty divided between her father and her beloved. My Old Ass runs 1 hour and 28 minutes. It's rated R for language throughout, drug use, and sexual material. This is a comedy. A mushroom trip brings free-spirited Elliot face-to-face with her 39-year-old self. But when Elliot's old ass delivers warnings to her younger self, Elliot realizes she has to rethink everything about her family, life, and love. Never Let Go runs 1 hour and 41 minutes. It's rated R for strong sexual content and grisly images. It's a drama horror thriller. A family that has been haunted by an evil spirit for years. Their safety and their surroundings come into question when one of the children questions if the evil is real. Reagan runs 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's rated PG for violent content and smoking. This is a biography, drama, history. From dusty small-town roots to the glitter of Hollywood and then on to commanding the world stage, Reagan is a cinematic journey of overcoming the odds. Told through the voice of Viktor Petrovich, a former KGB agent whose life becomes inextricably linked with Ronald Reagan's when Reagan first caught the Soviets' attention as an actor in Hollywood, this film offers a perspective as unique as it is captivating. Dennis Quaid brings to life a story that transcends the boundaries of a traditional biopic, offering a profound exploration of the enduring impact of the power of one man who overcame the odds, sustained by the love of a woman who supported him in his journey. Speak No Evil runs 1 hour and 50 minutes. It's rated R for some strong language and for violence, some sexual content, and brief drug use. It's a drama horror thriller. A family gets invited to spend a whole weekend in a lonely home in the countryside. But as the weekend progresses, they'll soon realize that the family who invited them has a dark side laying inside them. The Forge runs 2 hours and 3 minutes. It's rated PG. It's a family drama. The Forge tells the story of Isaiah Wright, a 19-year-old who lives for basketball and video games. A year out of high school, he still has no job, no plans, and no idea how to be a man. At odds with his single mom, Cynthia, Isaiah is given an ultimatum: to step up or move out. Feeling the pull from his friends and the push from his mom, Isaiah is hired by Moore Fitness, but has no idea how the owner will personally impact his life. With the prayers of his mother and unexpected guidance from his new mentor, Isaiah is forced to deal with his past, sacrifice his selfishness, and discover how God might have a greater purpose for his life. The Substance runs 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's rated R for strong, bloody, violent content, gore, graphic nudity, and language. It's a drama horror. A fading celebrity decides to use a black market drug, a cell-replicating substance that temporarily creates a younger, better version of herself. The Wild Robot runs 1 hour and 42 minutes. It's rated PG. It's an animation adventure sci-fi. After a shipwreck, an intelligent robot called Roz is stranded on an uninhabited island. To survive the harsh environment, Roz bonds with the island's animals and cares for an orphaned baby goose. Based on the middle grade novel of the same name by Peter Brown, there are 3 books in Roz's storyline. And finally, we have Transformers 1, which runs 1 hour and 44 minutes. It's rated PG for sci-fi violence and animated action throughout and language. It's an animation, action, adventure, family, fantasy, sci-fi. This is the untold origin story of Optimus Prime and Megatron, better known as sworn enemies, but once were friends, bonded like brothers, who changed the fate of Cybertron forever. And all of the movies mentioned in this broadcast are available at theaters run by Cinemark, Regal, or AMC. For Cinemark, you can get their schedule by going to cinemark.com/movies. That's CINEMARK.com. For Regal, go to regmovies.com. And for AMC, it's AMCTheatres.com. And that's it for this episode of Movie and Theater Previews. Hopefully, this information will be useful. Remember, the program will be in podcast after the broadcast, so you can double-check anything you like. I'm Kurt Benrood for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long, until next time.